hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely wonderful day today. Down here in Florida, I saw an article that just popped up this week, and it just always reminds me, and it should remind all of our listeners and Health Masters family, why it's so important to always be aware and always have the ability to defend yourself or your family. It's a concept that a lot of people no longer keep in this day and age, where we're so dependent on the government to protect us and coddle us and change our diapers on a regular basis, that a lot of people fail to realize there are a lot of really bad people in the world that you need to be able to protect your family from. And a lot of people say, well, I don't need a gun. I can handle myself. I know how to fight. What if you do not have the ability to engage in a hand fight and it goes more lethal? You need to have the ability to defend yourself and your family. The reason why I'm saying this, another story down here in Florida, good old Florida, West Palm Beach, last Saturday, a man had his six-year-old son in the car. He started the car up in the driveway of his house. He went back into the house to grab his wallet. When he came outside, there was a man that had gotten into the driver's seat and was stealing his car. He jumped in another vehicle. The dad jumped in another vehicle they had in the driveway and chased the man down. The vehicle wrecked, and he jumped out of the car to save his son. And the thief, Lamar Thurman, 29 years old, tried to take off again in the car that was already wrecked that he was still in with the six-year-old boy in the back seat. The father drew his weapon and engaged the driver multiple times, shot multiple times, hit him multiple times, and he basically crashed the vehicle again. And police said that the thief was hospitalized in critical condition, and the child was unharmed. Thankfully, he was in his car seat, buckled down. I'm sure it was a very loud episode for that six-year-old boy, though, having a weapon discharged in the vehicle like that. But he's a safe and alive, and there's absolutely no idea where this could have been going, whether or not it was a simple car heist or if it was another child abduction. We don't know, but the father had the ability, the skills, and the firearm to defend his family when he needed to do so, because when he got out, the thief tried to continue going in the wrecked vehicle, and that's why he tried to stop him, and he could not. That's why he engaged the driver with deadly force, because the guy was taken off again. So he prevented another death, possibly, and somebody else in another collision, and protected his son in the meantime. So this is why I remind everybody it's so important to have awareness of what's going on, awareness of people around you, and know what's going on. This incident obviously happened so fast. You know, you shouldn't leave your vehicle parked in your driveway, especially if it's exposed to the roadway, but sometimes people make mistakes, or they're in a hurry. They don't want to get their kid back out, take their car off, whatever they're doing. But this is why it's so important to have situational awareness and the ability to defend yourself and your family at any and all times, Dad. Thought I would open with that, because it just proves the point, as usual, that you cannot rely on law enforcement and the police to protect you, as obviously this situation would have been long over by the time law enforcement arrived, and they would have not known what happened to his son or the vehicle in most cases.
The word here is preparedness. And let me explain to you, it's in a simple term, what I mean by that. Number one is, when stuff like this happens, it puts you into a trance state. You don't expect it to happen. And so unless you've thought through the scenario of what happens when things like this do happen, you have a tendency to stop and try to analyze the situation. And the problem with doing that is that you're not going to prepare yourself or respond quickly enough to deal with it. I know that sounds funny, but you have to, like, do a scenario. I remember years ago I watched a video. It was by Stanford Strong on Strong Against Crime. And he said you have to practice a home invasion scenario with your children. You have to practice opening the windows and using ladders, you know, rope ladders, if you're on a second floor, or getting them out of the windows. You know, if something happened and somebody got into the house. And I practiced this with the kids when they were younger. I said, now look, here's the deal. If something happens, you got that alarm going off, I said, you hear somebody in the house, you open these windows and you get outside as quick as you can. Don't stay in the house. You don't want to stay here. You go outside, you go hide, you go climb a tree, you just get out of here. I said, because, you know, there's probably going to be gunfire in the house and you don't need to be involved in any of that. You just be out of the house. You think, well, that's crazy, Tim. You really did that? Yeah, I really did that. And the reason for that is if you've ever been in a fight, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Very rarely does somebody say, here's a line, cross it, or flip this, you know, this chip off my shoulder and all this kind of nonsense. You don't get that. People just walk up to you and they just sucker punch you. And that they don't, because they don't want to telegraph that they're about to get in a fight with you, because they don't want you to be able to defend yourself. That's what bullies do. Bullies pick on people, and that's why I hate bullies. And they'll say stuff to you and you think they're just running their mouth, and all of a sudden you get knocked upside the head. And that's why, you know, bullies just have to be put in their place. I remember years ago I was at a BMW dealership and some big guy was there, and he's like 6'7", assistant manager, and they have ice cream there, you know? And so if you buy cars from any of the Fields dealerships, you stop in any of the Fields dealerships and, you know, get an ice cream, you know, like Haagen-Dazs bars. And I stopped there for Haagen-Dazs bar because I did business with one of the Fields dealerships. And this guy starts yakking at me. This big guy comes up to me, and I mean, he's right beside me because I'm sitting there getting an ice cream. I'm driving a nice car. He starts busting at me, and I chewed him out. I chewed him out right in the middle of the dealership. And I said, dude, do you not realize that I bought cars from you guys before? I own a car right now from you guys. I said, what is wrong with you? And he didn't expect that, because his entire life, he's 6'6", 6'7", he was able to walk around and bully people and try to intimidate people. See, here's the thing, guys. If you're prepared... Now, I'm going to say this very, very, very clearly and cautiously. Always be prepared for the worst case scenario, but do everything you can to defuse the situation so the worst case scenario doesn't happen. Before I pulled my weapon on somebody, if I was in a parking lot or whatever, if I had time to and they were saying something to me, first thing would happen, my hand would go down in my pocket or grab my pistol by the butt, or my hand, my gun, my Glock, my Kimber, and I'd say to them, now, by me saying this with my hand on the gun, okay, with the safety off, you know, with its round in the chamber, but I will not have brandished the weapon. And I would say something like, look, this is going to get really negative for both of us. You need to back off. You need to step away. Now, if they were charging me and I didn't have an opportunity to say that, I wouldn't give them any type of warning. I would just respond. But here's the thing you've got to understand, guys. If you have to shoot somebody, and I don't care if you don't have a choice and you have to do it, or basically maybe there's another way out, I don't care if it's your fault, their fault, I don't care whose fault it is. It's going to change your life forever. You're going to be changed because they're going to have an investigation. You're probably going to get handcuffed. You're probably going to get arrested. The state attorney's going to get involved. All of this stuff's going to happen immediately, and it's not going to be what you think it is. It's easier to step away. And what you don't do here, especially in the state of Florida, is you never brandish a weapon. In other words, you don't pull the pistol out unless you have to use it. Now in the state of Florida, they finally changed that one rule that if you're about to get yourself attacked, you can't fire a warning shot. Before, if you just tried to fire a warning shot, you went to prison for 3 years. I mean, it's insanity, that law. They've changed that. So, you know, we've got some pretty good gun laws here in Florida, other than the red flag laws that, you know, Donald Trump was so masterful in getting done. But you've got to be so careful with what you do. Now, having children in the car, that sets up another whole set of variables, because now you have a hostage type situation that you don't know what's going to happen. And like Austin says, you don't know if they were going after the car or if they were going after the child. You don't know. I mean, you don't know. You don't know if this guy's been basically sitting there and waiting for this guy, and he'd been basically casing out the house and was trying to hopefully get a scenario like this. You don't know. You don't know. You have to ask the guy if he lives through it, if he's willing to tell you the truth. But all of this stuff you have to be prepared for, because guys, it happens really, really fast. This is why you have to train with your weapon on a regular basis. You've got to think through these scenarios in your head, and you always have to try to de-escalate whenever you possibly can. It's so important. If you can walk away and not get involved with these people, or if you just ignore them. Well, sometimes it's hard to ignore somebody who's saying something bad to you. I got that. Okay, I've been guilty of saying bad stuff back to them too. But guys, you don't want it to escalate to violence. You don't want it to escalate to deadly force. You don't want that to happen. And so it's always better just to try to just de-escalate it as quickly as you possibly can. Usually if you just stand up to a bully who's saying stuff to you, it's okay. Now, here's the other problem you get. Now, if you're still going to bars, don't go to bars, by the way. Don't do bars. When people get drunk in bars, I've worked in bars. I was a bouncer in bars for years in a bar. When you're in a bar, there's two types of drunks. You get the really nice drunk, passive drunk, sleepy drunks, and you get the mean drunks. You say, well, I can't believe you're talking about this stuff on your show. Well, yeah, well, I got people that aren't saved listening right now going out to bars. I got to talk to them for a second. You know, you got to be careful because some people just get nasty mean when they get drunk. They'll cut you, they'll stab you, they'll shoot you. I mean, they won't even give you a warning. They'll sucker punch you. Been there, done all that, okay? So you've got to realize that, you know, be very, very cautious when you're dealing with people in bars. Because remember, in a bar where liquor is being served and alcohol, you can't carry a concealed weapon. It's illegal. You can't walk into a bar with a gun in the state of Florida. You can't do that. So you've got to be very careful because, again, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you're not carrying your gun and you go into a bar and you got some person who's not a law-abiding citizen in the bar carrying a gun, carrying a blade, now you got yourself into a situation where you have unequal force. So just avoid situations like that. Avoid being involved with weirdos. Avoid putting yourself in places. Don't go where, you know, like I said, that for that song a few weeks ago, Mama told me not to come. Just don't go to places like that. And take care of your children. John Whitehead had an excellent article. He goes, the essence of evil, sex with children, has become big business in America. And I put this on my on our website, Health Masters website. You can read the whole thing. I'm not going to read all of it. This is the Jeffrey Epstein thing, and even children younger than that. And it gets children being targeted and sold for sex in America every day, says Ryan, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Children, young girls, and I'm going to say this also, and young boys, some as young as 9 years old, and I will say some of them as young, much, much younger than that. Some of them as babies are being bought and sold for sex in America. The average age for a young woman being sold now is about 13 years of age. This is America's dirty little secret. Well, it's not a little secret with Jeffrey Epstein. He got to walk on the charges. Sex trafficking, especially when it comes to buying and selling of young girls, has become big business in America. It's the fastest growing business in organized crime and the second most lucrative commodity traded illegally after drugs and guns. I'm going to repeat this. It's the fastest growing business in organized crime and the second most lucrative commodity traded illegally after drugs and guns. Now, I'm going to say one other thing. We have a lot of people that are coming across the borders, you know, with armed caravans of mercenaries bringing people in.
Yep.
These are paid soldiers, paid mercenaries that are bringing children into the United States, into the sex slave business, and also sometimes they bring adults in because they're being paid very well to do this. We have multiple videotapes that we've posted on the Health Masters website that basically show armed soldiers, armed mercenaries escorting people in. Why are they doing that? Because we now have militia in the United States that are stopping people from coming across the border, so they're going to be responding now. Remember I told you guys, the entire planet is run by organized crime, and human trafficking is a big thing. It's a lot more lucrative than running slinging dope across the border if you're charging $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 per person to get them across the border. They save the money, and people from this country who've already got across the border, they send the money back to them to get smuggled back across the border. I'm going to repeat that. You get somebody here working a construction job making $20 an hour, and they have to save enough money to send back to the smugglers to get their parents and their family or their brothers and their sisters or their children over here. They send the money down. Okay, they wire it. And then all of a sudden now these people have all this cash, and they're paying the smugglers to get them across to get to the great America. Because they can live here and basically be on welfare and have jobs and not eat from garbage dumps. So this is a major problem with the trafficking of children and also with the smuggling of children and adults through the border and the Mexican borders. Now, Terry Flynn sent me an excellent article this morning, and I'm going to read you part of it. And it says the 20 things to pray for your children, since we're talking about kids right now. And some of these things I believe are out of order, and some of them are redundant, so I'm not going to read them all. This is number one, receive and love Jesus as their Savior. Commit their lives to make Jesus Lord and for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit and basically let them learn to pray and praise. Let them know who they are in Christ. Now, this is when they get all the way through. Now, they also need to be protected by the blood of Christ. But also the next thing, and they put this on the bottom of the list. They have like 20 things on the list, and I'm on like number 6 now. I'm putting number 20 on number 7. Find the godly life partner that God is preparing, a mate who will complement them in their obedient law walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Guys, I'm telling you this, and I've seen it over and over and over again, and you've got to pray for your kids for this. We prayed for Lana's spouse, Austin's spouse, Lana, since he was a child, baby. We're praying, we pray for all the other children's spouses now because we want them to be in the perfect will of God. Why is that? There are a lot of people out there who appear that they would be a good spouse, but if they don't have your values, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if they don't have an understanding of how the world really works, if they want to give your children, if you get married to them, 67 vaccines and cause them to have autism and believe that that's God's providence and providentialism and that God wanted the children to have autism, or they want to give their children fluoride toothpaste, which has a warning on it that says if you swallow it, contact the Poison Control Center immediately. And they won't listen, it's going to create tremendous conflict in your life. I'm just telling you that. See, guys are funny. Guys get attracted to good-looking girls, okay? And girls get attracted to good-looking guys. But the reality is the looks don't necessarily matter as much as the character matters, because the looks are going to fade with time and with age. You know, the problem is the character doesn't change in most cases. And if a person has a tendency to go through life just looking at looks and being superficial with dating people, they're never going to find somebody who has true character. And you need to go through an entire season with people. Gosh, I've got to be so careful what I'm going to say. I'm going to say something. I've got to be careful what I say right now. You've got to make sure that if you start dating somebody that you know them, that you've been through a whole year, 2 years with them, at least a year. You've got to realize, and I had this happen to a friend of mine one time, and he was on a business convention, and he had married this girl, and they went to Monte Carlo on this business convention. And the girl and all their friends were there at the convention, and his wife wanted to go topless at the topless pool on top of the hotel. I mean, like, bare-breasted. And she got into a huge argument with my friend, who said basically, no, you're not going to run around naked in front of my buddies. It ain't going to happen. You know, that's the kind of stuff that should have been discussed before they got married. And it ended in divorce. And that was probably the best thing for both of them because of some other adultery stuff that was going on from the female end. But the reality is this, guys. You got to know somebody through all the seasons. What if they want to wear a thong and post it on Facebook or post it on Snapchat? Maybe if they want to send naked selfies of themselves. I mean, one of the current thing now is standing in front of mirrors in your underwear and taking pictures of yourself if you work out, posing, etc. I mean, don't get me started on that. And that's the current thing. Everybody likes to do that in the mirrors, is, you know, because they can send pictures of themselves. Like everybody wants to see a picture of the person. It's ridiculous. And so you've got to know somebody before you marry them. And guys, I'm telling you this. And if I can't give you any more advice from this show today, you got to listen to this. You got to marry right. They got to love God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their being. They got to be sincere Christians, not just somebody who just accepted Christ one time when they were 8 years old and they never went back to church again. They spend every weekend in the bar. I had another guy come over years ago, and he had a girlfriend, and she was a skank. And this guy's a doctor, right? And he's dating the doctor and the skank. I could write a book on it. And finally she started telling me, you know, what I should and can't do and this and that. She had said every weekend this guy was out of town a lot. So she would go to the bars and dance with her old boyfriends in the bars and drink. And I said to her, what part of that's okay? She said, you can't judge me. I said, I'm not judging you. I'm just asking you what part of that's okay and how's it working and what's it doing to you and why should your boyfriend, the doctor, think this is okay? Now, he can't tell me what to do, blah, 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 blah. So finally, I was real bold with her, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. This girl's like, she's like 30 years old. I said, how many men have you slept with? And you guys, I really did this. I really said this. And she said, about 50. And she caught herself when she said it, because she said it in front of her doctor buddy. I said, okay. So I kind of said, well, I guess we're done talking now, so you guys have a great night. I'm glad you guys can make it come by and goodbye. So, you know, so the doctor calls me up the next day and he goes, man, I didn't know she slept with 50 guys. I mean, she slept like with all my friends. And I'm like, yeah, how's that going to work out for you? I said, she's loose, man. And he goes, well, dude, he said, you've been dating her. I said, you should have known this. I said, in German, the word's called behandelt, which means she's been passed around. Now, don't get me wrong. Women do this. Men do this. I'm not picking on girls. Not picking on guys. I'm saying that people do a lot of stuff before they get saved. But this girl claimed to be saved. She claimed to be a born-again Christian. And she's going to bars every weekend and drinking and boozing and says that she's admitted to sleeping with 50 guys, and she hasn't changed her lifestyle. You know, we all do things we're not supposed to do before we're in Christ. We all say and do things we're not supposed to say and do. I'm not going to be sanctimonious here because I can put a big giant arrow pointed towards me. So, but we got to realize that once we get born again, that, you know, we're supposed to be changed because we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're not supposed to want to do the things that we did before we got saved. I mean, it's just really important that we understand that. I mean, sure, you may be tempted a little bit to go out with your boozing buddies or your drug dealing buddies or whatever you hang out with before you got saved, but if you're going to go out with them and hang out with them at all, the conversations have to be Christ-centered. You have to be talking to them about Jesus, about why you're born again, about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Don't get out there and, if they're going to use filthy language, use filthy language. If they're going to drink, you're going to drink. I mean, you've got to show them there's a difference. Yesterday, I had a good friend of mine. I've known him for many years. His name's Carl, and he's my age. He's in his 60s. And he called me up, and I was talking to him for a bit. He goes, "I want to thank you." He goes, "Man, I love your show." I said, "Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Carl." He goes, "It's changed my life." He goes, "I read the Bible more. I pray more. I have a better relationship with Jesus than I've ever had." And I'm like, "Well, thank you." You see, that's what this show does. I had another friend. His name's Gene. I mentioned him on the show the other day. And I told him about 5 months ago when he started listening to the show, I said, "The show's going to change you because it's not going to let you see the things that you see the way you see them anymore. It's going to paint the picture of the whole picture of who runs the planet and what these clowns are doing." I said, "The people who run the planet are the same people who killed Jesus Christ." I said, "That's what it is. That's the reality." I said, "And you know," and I said, "we have to make sure that we understand who and what we are in Christ. I mean, what are they going to do to us, right? I mean, I'm 63 years old. My years of being, you know, competitive athlete are gone behind me. I mean, I can still do things. I'm still real strong for my age, but I'm not as strong as I used to be. You know, so we need to, at this point, to the best of our abilities, resist spiritually, mentally, and physically to this onslaught of this evil that's in this world. I mean, think about what Christ did. He didn't do anything wrong, and yet he took the entire sin of the world upon his back, upon his shoulders, upon his head. He got beaten, you know, I mean, beaten, literally lacerated to the point of death. I mean, and then was hung on a cross. That's what they did to him. You know, so we have God's now, because of him, we have his protection. And we have the blood of Christ that continues to sanctify us through all eternity. We no longer need to have a priest before us. We don't need that anymore. We don't need to have a temple rebuilt and start re-implementing sacrifices. I mean, Christians who believe that stuff are completely and totally misunderstanding what the Word of God and what Christianity is. But if God asks you to do something, if he asks you to be something, if he asks you to go somewhere, if he asks you to do, you know, be a person to stand against this tyranny that's enveloping this country, do it. Just do it. Because if we all work together being led by the Holy Spirit, the great spirit, the energy field, whatever you want to call it, I mean, if you pick a vernacular, that infills you through the power of the blood of the Lamb, through the Holy Spirit of God Almighty himself, he's going to change you. You'll never be the same. You'll never, never, never be the same. Now, you'll be tempted with stuff that you did when you were, you know, when you were before you got saved. I mean, it's just the way it is. But he gives you the authority and the power to resist it and to walk away from it. That's what you need to do. If you had a problem with alcohol before you got saved, ask God. Say, "God, help me get past this." Or with cigarettes, "Help me get past this." Or with adultery, "Help me get past this." Or with just, you know, promiscuity, "Help me get past this. Find me a proper good mate." I mean, ask him. Ask and you will receive is what the Word of God says. I had the opportunity to pray for you guys again this morning. It's a privilege for me to do that. You guys are awesome. I thank you for your continued support. And I thank you for listening to the show. We have so many listeners now. We have millions of listeners. And guys, I'm going to treat you just like I treat you right now. You guys are all family. And I appreciate you, and I thank you for the support you give to the show, and I thank you for the fact you get your vitamins from us, and that we don't have to sell a bunch of commercial time on the show. I mean, just think about it. If I could talk for 3 minutes and had 4 or 5 minutes of commercials, talk for 3 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes of commercials, that's what you're getting on a lot of the podcasts. And thank you for not allowing that to happen. Thank you for allowing us to do what you do. I learned a long time ago, God's work done God's way always has God's support. And I thank you for helping us providing that for us. Austin, what do you think, bud, and what's your next story?
Well, to kind of touch base back when we were talking about a little bit ago, I wanted to address that a little bit more. What we're starting to see now is a lot more attempts and a lot more, as you already mentioned earlier, the growth of this child abduction thing. And the reason I want to talk about this today is because this is something that nobody really wants to talk about. It's a topic that it's not nice to talk about. It's actually quite horrific to talk about, but it's something that people aren't addressing. Mainstream media never talks about it, ever. Alternative media rarely ever brings it up. And you notice we've already seen multiple incidences like this that have been stopped. You know, I saw a article earlier today, which was good, from Minnesota. Remember the five-year-old boy that was thrown from the third-floor balcony at the Mall of America in Minneapolis. Apparently now he has no signs of brain damage or swelling. Thank God. They said he did not suffer any swelling to his brain, spinal cord, or nervous system, and his no life-threatening internal injuries. He had multiple broken bones from hitting the floor. However, they're expecting him to make a full recovery, which is a blessing. Now, the next part of this that everybody has to understand is, still, why did this 29-year-old Somalian, Emmanuel Aranda, who's now facing felony counts of premeditated first-degree murder, why did this occur? Nobody's talking about that. From speculation from a lot of witnesses, he was trying to grab the boy and take him out of an exit door, and essentially the boy started fighting him, screaming and yelling and trying to get as much attention as he could, and essentially this guy grabbed the kid, flipped him over the rails, and then took off. What was going on in order for this to occur? A lot of people are starting to speculate this was another abduction. You guys remember just 3 weeks ago, West Virginia, a man from Egypt grabbed a five-year-old girl by the hair and tried to drag her out one of the exit doors. Her mother, blessed as she was, had a firearm on her, drew the weapon, and basically put the man on the ground, did not fire the weapon, but got the man to stop, and then he was subdued by mall security. The girl was essentially unharmed from any significant damages. But again, why was this 54-year-old man from Egypt, who's now been charged with attempted child abduction, why was he trying to grab this girl and drag her out the door? This is something now, and they're starting to say that there's roughly anywhere between 100 to 150,000 underage children that are abducted and sold into the sex slave every single year, just in the United States now. They're saying that roughly these handlers can make anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 a year off one child. That is becoming such a growing moneymaker that the allegedly law enforcement doesn't know how to handle it anymore because it's becoming such a issue. And this is something that I just wanted to bring up because another concept of this is too, is in order to have a demand for something, in order to have a product that you have for sale, there has to be a demand for it. Why is the demand for child sex slaves going up so rapidly in the United States? And this is a concept that an individual psychologist has been talking about, who did an article, Jessica Bennett, said it's the pornification of a generation now. They said the culture is grooming these young children to be preyed on by sexual predators, and the porn industry has now made the whole concept of this almost more aggressive for people to want it. They said now a lot of these individuals are adults that are, a lot of them have families that are paying for these child sex slaves that are going out and having these girls that are 12, 13, 14 years old. She said that the average age of the child sex slave now is 13 in the United States. She said now social media is making it entirely too easy. As Dad talked about earlier, these girls now at a very young age are putting very, very promiscuous photos up online, and most of the time they're lying about how old they are as well, so they don't get flagged by social media. But on top of it too, they said it's making finding girls incredibly easy for pimps. They said they look on Facebook and other social networks. They said they and their assailants cruise malls, high schools, middle schools, pick them up at bus stops, on trolleys, also girl-to-girl recruitment sometimes happen. They also say that foster homes are also becoming prime targets for traffickers. This is something that everybody needs to realize, that this is starting to happen more and more. Now, what again are we starting to see in this society that is becoming such a opening of this behavior? Because this isn't something that just, you know, it's always been around, yes, but it's never been to this level. They're saying that on average in the United States, it's a $10 to $20 billion a year industry, and those are very, very, very low figures just in the United States alone. What we see now out in California, government school officials think it's important to teach children about pedophilia and pedestrian in classrooms because it's a sexual orientation. That is according to a top official for California's Brea Linda School District, who admitted to parents that it is being done. The stunning omission came from a parent information meeting last month for the Brea Linda Unified School District. Stephanie Yates, founder of Informed Parents of California, asked school officials why they were teaching pedophilia in school to ninth graders. But instead of denying it, the top school official confirmed it was happening and acted like there was nothing wrong with it. This is done because we're talking, this is what she said, and I quote, "This is done because we're talking about historical perspectives of how gender relations and different types of sexual orientations have existed in history," said the assistant. Horrified, the mother turned activist expressed shock at the admission. She goes on to say, "So sex between a man and a little boy is a sexual orientation?" she asked. Torres, the administrator, did not deny it. She went on to say, "It's something that occurred in history, so it's really important for us to include it in our teachings," essentially implying, yes, it is a sexual orientation that we're teaching. Of course, if it's simply having occurred in history means something merits inclusion in the school curricula, one might ask why the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not taught, or why the full context of the Civil War is never mentioned in government schools. Obviously, there is more to the story than simply having to teach children about such perversions merely because they occurred. What we're starting to see here now, with this sexual orientation increasingly becoming a legally protected category across almost half the states, so what sexual orientation is now, they simply say it's protected. Congress is working on it too. For instance, in California, discrimination based on sexual orientation is prohibited. If pedophilia simply has a different sexual orientation, does that mean schools are required to hire them and protect them too? This is what we're seeing with the transgender, LGBTQRSTUVXYZ, whatever you want to call it, agenda that we're starting to see now. They've twisted the context, and they've made it now the transgender agenda, which allows boy, girl, man, girl, whatever you want to call it, to twist the entire fabric of science, to twist reality, to pollute it and to pervert it to no end. Now we're starting to see that pedophilia is now starting to be categorized as something as sexual orientation, as perverted as it is. So we're seeing this whole spiral down to pervert every thought of every action of all the time. And this is what they're trying to push on the entire agenda now, because if they can get the younger population to be so confused among themselves of whether they're a boy, whether they're a girl, they don't know today, they're going to pick to be a unicorn tomorrow, as we've already seen the sexual age dysphoria now, where essentially somebody goes, "Oh, I'm not a 40-year-old man. I identify as a 12-year-old girl." They're trying to say that that is okay as well now. Now we're seeing in Canada, as interesting as they are up there, last week, Justice Francisco Missouri of the Supreme Court of British Columbia declared a father guilty of family violence against his 14-year-old daughter. And you go, "Oh, family violence, okay, this guy's domestic battery, blah, blah, blah." No, quite contraire. Has never laid a finger on his daughter. He was charged with family violence on the sole basis that he engaged in the expression of rejecting his daughter's gender identity. I kid you not. These expressions revolved entirely around his refusal to refer to his daughter as a boy in private and in public. A previous report that Alcatraz, the Supreme Court ordered in February, get this, that 14-year-old Maxine, who's a female, start receiving testosterone injections without parental consent. Accordingly, Maxine began regular injections at British Columbia Children's Hospital over the course of the last 2 months. Her father, Clark, strongly objected to this treatment and immediately sought to reverse the decision. It was denied. Hoping to raise awareness of the case, Clark gave a number of interviews to media outlets, including the Federalist. In these interviews, he repeatedly referred to his daughter, who is a biological girl, as his daughter. And then he said that she is a girl. Her DNA will not change, even though they are experimenting on her and giving her testosterone injections. Marzulli, the justice of the Supreme Court, quoted as a prime example of Clark's blatant family violence of his public denial of Maxine's gender identity. He convicted Clark of his violence and issued a protection order and a gag order preventing him from speaking to any journalists or public about the case. Marzi also ordered that Clark be enjoined from exposing Maxine to any materials that might question whether her gender identity is real or her treatments are in her best interest. That topic came up after Clark had invited his daughter to watch a video on a small-time Canadian conservative commentator with him. The video contained a section discussing Maxine's case, which she quickly recognized. She told her father she did not watch the video. She went to her room. This incident, according to Missouri, was a clear case of an attempt to persuade Maxine to abandon treatment and hence again charge him with family violence. This is just one incident that has occurred in Canada now. I've seen numerous ones. I mean, a pile of them now that are occurring in Canada and all across the globe, where they're now telling individuals you are not allowed to speak out about the truth of a female or a male that's getting hormone replacement therapy because they're absolutely confused at 14 years of age of who they are, which is quite normal at 13, 14 years of age when you're going through pre-puberty, and now they want to have hormone replacement therapy at a young age that is irreversible, by the way, especially when you take it at this age, and they do not want anybody talking about it, anybody addressing it, or anybody making it known to the general population what perverted, sadistic ideology they are promoting in these school systems, in these courtrooms, and in these hospitals, and in these clinics, especially some of these hormone clinics now. This goes right back to what I was telling you guys about with the massive influx of child abductions and child sex slaves in the United States and globally now. If they can confuse these children to the brink that a 14-year-old girl wants to go on testosterone replacement therapy at 14 without parental consent, they can pretty much convince these kids just about anything is normal, including pedophilia and child sex trafficking. This is the America, this is the globalist plan, this is what we're starting to see now at every angle, and we have to start exposing it. This is not a topic I like bringing up, this is not something that's fun to talk about, but nobody else is wanting to talk about this, and we have to realize we have to protect our children from being exposed to this stuff. We have to try to protect them from being exposed to this sexual perversion, especially with the porn. And I'm being real honest with you guys right now. They say now that at 13-year-old, that when they did an interview with 13 to 14-year-old boys, 90% of them said they had viewed sexually explicit material on the internet already at 13 to 14 years age. 90% of them. 9 out of 10. Girls, they said it was 88%, almost identical. This is a problem because the pornography, along with this twisted ideology, with this pedophilia being a sexual orientation now they're promoting, with the whole transgender therapy now, this is all being done at one time like an atomic bomb on the young generation, the children, to confuse them, pollute them, and pervert them so they will be ready when they get in their teenagers and their 20s to be fully acceptant of this next generation that the Satan globalists are wanting to put on us. There's a reason why this full agenda has to be implemented by 2030 by the UN. There's only 10 more years to get this in place. Well, if you start looking at the kids that are teenagers now, how old are they going to be in 10 years? 13 to 16 or 23 to 26, the same kids that are in their young age now, my younger kids, how old are they going to be in 10 years? 12 to 13. This is the age group that they're preying on and they're trying to pollute. I mean, we had in New York City now, we got 11-year-old boy, you guys remember that last year, Damien, strip-teasing grown men in a male strip club, and it's okay behavior. This is something that is going on that we have to start addressing, no matter how weird it is to talk about, no matter how unsettling it is to talk about, and no matter how much flack we get, we have to start addressing it, because being silent like we've been for the last decade has obviously not done us any good whatsoever. It has allowed this ideology, this behavior, this sex trafficking, and this perverted agenda, this generation, to flourish further than we ever expected it to. Now we're in this doggone sinking ship and we don't know what to do, to the point where you can't even call girl a girl if she wants to be a boy and go on hormone replacement therapy. You basically get gag ordered and charged with family violence in Canada now. How long before that ideology is implemented, and how long before those type of judges start pushing that behavior in the United States? Because it's already right on the cusp. They've already done this in multiple states now, where they have had court orders for children to be able to emancipate themselves from their parents and go on gender replacement therapy, hormone replacement therapy, at an early, early age against their parents' consent, because the judge said the child had the right to do so. This is a perversion. It's wrong. And we cannot sit back and say, this is okay. We'll be politically correct. We don't want to step on any toes. We don't want to offend anybody. So we're just going to pretend it's not happening. We're past that time now, Dad.
Awesome. We've been past that time. I mean, gosh, you covered so much. Okay. Number one, keep your kids off the iPhones. If you have to give them a phone for safety or whatever, get them a flip phone that is not connected to the internet. I can't be any more direct than that. They can still take pictures with it. They can still save the pictures, but don't let it connect to the internet. Don't let them view porn on it. They're going to view porn. That's the reason that 88% of the girls and 90% of the boys have basically viewed porn, is because they have a telephone. You can't stop it. You think, well, I've got a block on it. Oh, whatever. Whatever. They'll use your friends' phones that don't have a block to view porn. I mean, you gotta make sure they choose their friends well. And you gotta talk about this stuff in your social groups and in your church groups. You can't pretend like it's not happening. Now, okay, I'm gonna step on some toes again. Gosh, it always is a toes thing for me. Let's talk about the porn industry. Let's talk about who runs it. Let's talk about why they do it. Let's talk about who makes the money from it. Let's talk about how 95% controlled porn is basically through Sabbatean Kabbalists. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about that England controls Canada, that it's a fiefdom of England. It's basically a crown colony. And if you don't believe that, a few years ago, the Queen of England basically came over and dismissed the entire parliament in Canada because they weren't doing what she's supposed to do. Let's talk about who runs England. The Rothschild Bank took over England with the Napoleonic Wars. They took over the Bank of England. They run the country. They pretty much own it. They operate. They run the country through the Rothschild banking cartels and through the Masonic lodges. That's just the bottom line. I mean, you get all these people like that. One Seville guy who was running around, you know, with all those children, with all the pedophiles and all the pornography and all the stuff he did with the royal family, getting them children. I mean, gosh, that's just old stories. I mean, the royal family is completely and totally compromised. They control Canada. Canada is completely and totally compromised. The United States is run by the Rothschild banking cartel through the Exchange Stability Fund. Took it over in 1934 when they took over the Treasury. And through the Congress, they blackmailed everybody, and they have all of this dirty laundry on all these people in Congress, so they do what they're told to do. Israel is run by the Rothschild Sabbatean family. It formed it through the Balfour Declaration. Israel is the number one homosexual destination in the world. I mean, there's brothels with like every type of sex perversion that you could possibly imagine, even though the Torah forbids that. Because they don't follow the Torah, they follow the Babylonian Talmud. You gotta understand where all this stuff ties together. You gotta realize that the international banking cartels, the Rothschilds, you know, with their dragon Pintar and all the crazy nonsense you read about with the bloodlines, they're it. They're the ones that go directly to Lucifer. I mean, if you read that one book from the Bloodlines, it says that the Rothschild family actually has a place setting at their dinner table for Lucifer. I mean, it's every night. They set a place setting for him. And they say that every 37 years, he actually manifests and shows up in their doggone house and tells them the course of events to follow. Now, whether that's true, I don't know. It all sounds crazy to me. But these people believe it. I mean, they believe it, and they're willing to rule the planet for it. Think about the pornography industry in the United States. I mean, the United States pornography is the biggest pornography. I mean, if the internet had not had pornography, it never would have monetized itself to even stay as an internet. I don't even know what we'd have as an internet right now. It's awful that we have a double-edged sword with this thing. It's still some of the top viewed websites right now are the porn websites. And you think, really? Yeah. And of course, you know, Drudge promotes all that. Why would Drudge, the gay guy, not promote the porn sites that are basically the biggest viewed ones? Why would he not put that on his news feed? I mean, good Lord, this guy is so sick. And he's just so skewed. But let's talk about a few other things. Let's talk about Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley, with his magic, spelled with a J, he basically talked about sex with children, about how, and guys, I hate to talk about this stuff. It's sick. I don't like talking about it. I don't even like reading about it. I don't even mention this stuff. But he did this with literally, he said, thousands of children. And what it did, it would feed these interdimensional demons, and it would give him insight into things, and it would empower him, because the demons like this stuff, because apparently they're a bunch of sodomites. So you realize that the 17 Kabbalist group controls the porn. You realize the Frankfurt School that we talked about, that was basically a Jewish think tank in Germany in the 20s that moved to Columbia University in 33 to destroy nationalism, had to find a way to destroy the fabric of society. They are the ones who also have pushed all of this sexual deviancy through the media starting in the 50s. And I've talked about this, and I'm not going to cover it again. And then you also have to realize that, you know, why are they doing this? Why are these Sabbatean Kabbalists doing this? The ones who, or the people that are basically the Kabbalists, why are they doing this? And what does the Talmud say about this? What does it say about sex with little children? I mean, so I'm going to just read you some verses out of the Talmud. This is Yevamoth. And it talks about there was a certain town in the land of Israel, the legitimacy of whose inhabitants was disputed, and the rabbi said, R. Romanos, who conducted an inquiry and found it in this daughter of a proselyte who was under the age of 3 in one day, and the rabbi declared her eligible to live with the priest. There you go. How about that? Then it goes on, a proselyte who was under the age of 3 in years and one day is permitted to marry a priest. That's what it says. For it is said, but all the women and children that have not been known by man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. Consequently, it must be said that the scripture speaks out of one who is fit for cohabitation. They're talking, they twist the Torah. And it goes on to say, a maiden aged 3 years and one day may be acquired in marriage by coition. And if her deceased husband's partner cohabitates with her, she becomes his. I mean, under the age 3 years? I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's saying it's okay. Now you think, well, crap, that's not okay. Yeah, I know it's not okay. I agree with you. I'm reading you what this Talmud says. And you say, well, see, what you got to understand here, I'm going to go on another limb here. I hear the term always being used by the Zionists, Judeo-Christianity. They're an oxymoron. They don't exist. The same black magicians that have ruled the planet for 5,000 years with the fallen angels giving them the information are the same ones who destroyed Christ, who killed him. Then he was resurrected, which they never expected that was going to happen. That's why it says the God of this world would never have crucified the Son of Glory if he knew what was going to happen. He wouldn't have done it. The same group that did that, okay, it's the same group that were the wizards and the warlocks of the Middle Ages, like Merlin and all the stories you hear about that, and the blood drinkers. It's the same group. And now we have that same group through the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Sabbatean Zebi group, that have subverted and done all these things. Henry Ford said it this way, the founder of Ford Motor Company. You dig under a rock, it's always these guys. You dig down deep enough, it's always these guys. And that's why I want to tie these pieces of the puzzle back together for you. They're the ones that are promoting this child sex. And I remember I talked to a police officer here a few months ago, one of my sources, and he told me, he says, Ted, they're not really worried about, you know, a guy looking at a Playboy magazine or a guy looking at a Playboy model as far as online. They don't care about that. The police don't. The sheriffs don't. They don't care. When these guys get busted in these sex porn rings, they're watching sex with child and with infants, with babies, 12 months, 13 months, 24 months, 36 months. That's the stuff they're storing on their computers, the child sex porn. It's not with 14 to 15 year old girls. That's bad enough. It's with infants and children. You think, oh, God, Ted, that's awful. I'm reading you where it came from. I just read you. You can look it up. Does the Talmud okay sex with children age 3? Look it up yourself. Read it yourself. I mean, the Torah forbids all this stuff. The five first books of Levitical law are the word of God. But remember, these people who crucified Christ, these elders, and he even said, Jesus said, you've nullified the word for the sake of your traditions. You've nullified. That's a strong word. Erased, made of no account. You've made it go away for the sake of your oral traditions. You have forgotten what the Talmud says, what the Torah says, and you've got all these oral traditions that have basically supplanted it. Jesus said this. And of course they couldn't believe he did that. And then of course all the people were following him because they knew he was telling them the truth, and he had thousands and thousands and thousands of multitudes. I mean, think about that. 5,000-10,000 people in a group, you know, in the Sea of Galilee, and hearing him talk and all the things that were going on and the parables. I mean, think about that. He was scaring the doggone local people half to death, especially the Sabbatean Kabbalists. Wouldn't be Sabbatean Kabbalists at that point. There wouldn't be Kabbalists at that point because the Kabbalah hadn't been written yet. This would be the Satan group. He was scaring them half to death because he was telling the truth about who they were, being the children of Lucifer. And that same group who crucified Christ is the same group that took down Building 7. There you go. It's the same group. It's the same group that runs the false flags. It's the same group that does all of this crazy nonsense that we have to deal with. It's the same group that runs the child pornography. It's the same group that runs the international banking cartels. And then they have their committee of three, Council 300, the Committee of 300, and all of these bloodlines go down through in a giant hierarchical pyramid. And these people have this insane life, these insane lifestyles. I mean, I was down at Palm Beach the other day visiting a friend. And I mean, I've seen some big houses, you know, over the years, over in Europe and stuff, but they're homes that are like castles in Palm Beach that basically are just, I mean, the homes are $200 and $300 million on 10 acres of water on top of it, right on the Atlantic Ocean. And you're like, what the heck? How do you get that kind of money? Not in every case, but in most cases, it's because they align themselves with the forces of darkness. And they do the work of their father, who is Lucifer. That's the fact. And what they do, they get given all of this stuff because they're connecting themselves through their little Kabbalah red bracelets and their sacrificial things and all the things that they do to an energy field outside of our dimensions, which gives them insight and power for a short time. Because I tell you what, guys, I'd rather have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit and be sanctified by the blood of the Lamb and have my little 60, 70, 80, 90 years down here go by and be done with it and then be in heaven with God for eternity. These people are not going to have that. If you read in Isaiah, I think it's 15 or 16, it says that they're all basically the leaders in the world are in chains of hell. And Lucifer shows up in hell, all chained up, and they say, what the heck, you know, didn't you tell us that you were not, this wasn't going to happen to us? What the heck, why are we down here? What the heck did you do, man? You've misled us, you've lied to us. What do you think he was going to do? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Jesus called him out for who he was and what he is. Have the relationship with God Almighty through his mediator, through his son, Jesus Christ, and it changes your life forever. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then so you may not live in a 200,000 square foot mansion on 10 acres of water in Palm Beach. Okay. So what? Who cares? They're not going to live there forever either, guys. And where they're going to go, these things they worship, these things they see when they use their ayahuasca and they go through the dimensional portal and they see them hiding behind the trees, these goblins, these goons, these gremlins, these things that go bump in the night, these demon things, they want them there. They want them on that other side. They're waiting for them there. And guys, it won't be a dinner at the king's table. It's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what these guys are going to get, Austin, and that's what they deserve for what they've done to these children. These people are damned. They're going to go to hell for what they've done, and they deserve every bit of the ride down that slippery slope and that torment they're going to get because nobody has the right to take advantage of children like this. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're spot on, man. I mean, it's horrible. So, I mean, that's why we continue to get the truth out. We continue to try to wake people up. And sometimes we have to have shows like this. I mean, as much as they're not fun to have, people have to start bringing this topic up and bringing it to the light, because this is why this industry has become so flourishing, is because nobody wants to talk about it. It's one of those, don't worry about it, don't think about it. As long as it doesn't affect me directly, I'm not going to talk about it. It's in the shadows, it's in the dark, it doesn't really exist, blah, blah, blah. No. When we're talking about over 100 to 150,000 children being abducted every single year in the United States into the sex trafficking world, that's something everybody needs to start realizing. We're not playing here with, you know, this is an isolated incident. This is occurring all the time, and we have to start making and addressing it and making it known. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for the continued support of helping us out and taking care of healthmasters.com. And in turn, we try to help you guys out the best we can. Please be aware, you know, I'm getting a lot of emails lately. People are almost demanding that I call them because they want to talk to me. I have staff here at the office that handles a lot of stuff on a regular basis, including the phones. I'm in and out of the office all the time. I'm handling supplement shipments. I'm handling different types of companies that we're working with. I'm handling a lot of different stuff. That's why I have knowledgeable staff here on a regular basis. You're free to email me if you'd like on the website at healthmasters.com. I try to respond back to everybody. Sometimes it's slightly delayed, but I do try to get back to everybody. But please do me a favor. Do not send me emails demanding that I call you immediately and demanding that I call you at this time, at this point, because you have to speak to me right away. If it's something that's emergency, you probably need to dial 911. If you're needing just health topics, please feel free to call our staff and speak to them. Steve is one of my best reps here. He's really good on the phones. He takes care of everybody really well, and he's extremely knowledgeable. Or you can email me, and I'll get to you whenever I can. So please understand, and please, I'm not fussing anybody, but please respect my time, because I am extremely busy. I'm here 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day, and I have two kids and a family that I try to take care of and do everything. So I really thank you for that support and respecting that for me. If you guys need anything, again, healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out all the different specials that we have right now, including the magnesium brain food, which will be ending this week on the big 15% off sale that we have going on right now on that product. We appreciate you guys. We love you. Thank you for your support. Keep up the good fight. Keep waking everybody up. And we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.